Brief introduction. My name is Greg Denver. I'm not an academic. I'm a musician and a songwriter, and I guess I would call myself an independent scholar of sorts. I co-author with Linda Cariello a blog called whatismetamodern.com, and we catalog metamodern cultural products and music and film and television and things like that. I found my way into metamodernism theory when searching for a way to account for changes I noticed in American indie rock that emerged around the turn of the millennium. Just as Vermeulen and Van Den Akker reported in their 2010 essay, Notes on Metamodernism, that they had begun noticing paintings that exhibited a sensibility that could not be easily explained by postmodernism. In the early mid-2000s, I found myself noticing a similar shift in American indie rock, music that seemed to restore a place for unabashed sentiment, but was somehow also fluent in the playful, self-aware, ironic, and decentering vernacular of postmodernism. The slide shows a smattering of representative artists. In this paper, I will focus on four of them, demonstrating qualities in their music and presentation that I argue express a metamodern sensibility. First, though, I must clarify some of my terms and theoretical premises. Borrowing from Foucault, episteme is my preferred term for the kind of category that metamodernism belongs to. Tradition, modernism, postmodernism, and metamodernism are each epistemes describing broad culture-wide sensibilities grounded in unconscious answers to questions about the nature of knowing. An episteme has two components. Primarily, it names a historical period based on a particular dominating or leading sensibility, but it also identifies that sensibility ahistorically, potentially occurring outside of its home period. That was the slide that was supposed to be on when I was saying all that. Or no, it's not. I'm good. Okay. Here we are. Following Vermeulen and Van Den Akker, I observed that metamodern cultural artifacts generally exhibit an oscillation between modernist qualities and postmodern qualities. Drawing from Raoul Eshelman's theory of performatism, who's been mentioned a couple times today, I propose that metamodernism is an aesthetic shift motivated by an impulse to protect the solidity of interiority or subjectivity or felt experience from the ironic detachment that prevailed under postmodernism. I would also add that it protects interiority against the scientific reductionism of modernism and the prepersonal inertia of premodern tradition. In order to account for historical patterns seen in rock music, I propose the concept of epistemic recapitulation. A particular genre, in this case rock music, may itself, on the grand scale, be associated with a particular episteme, in this case postmodernism, but inside the history of that genre, we may see many periods that recapitulate all of the epistemes. So on this slide, do you guys get the handouts?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I made this handout because the next couple slides, I don't have time to go into detail, so you can kind of look at them at your leisure. But so on this slide and at the top of the handout, I'm showing how rock music overall could be considered a postmodern phenomenon, roughly, you know, occurring from the 1950s through 2000 and beyond. The next slide is a chart showing what I call the mini epistemes inside that big episteme. So traditional rock and roll is the 1950s through mid-60s, with some of those artists you're probably familiar with. Modernist classic rock is the mid-60s through 70s. Postmodern punk new wave is a punk new wave and alternative, or postmodern late 70s through 90s. And then I'm proposing that we can think of the indie rock from the late 90s through the present as metamodern. Elsewhere, I have proposed 11 methods that I observe as being common in metamodern artworks. Again, time limits don't permit me to discuss each of these in detail, but in my view, each one potentially helps a cultural artifact protect interiority. You can follow the link on the slide or on the paper handout for a more in-depth article that discusses these methods. Okay, so now I'm going to get into the artists. As one of two frontmen for his punk rock band Heat Miser, Elliott Smith was poised in 1996 for more success than he had ever imagined possible. Pete Meiser were local heroes in the Portland, Oregon scene and had just been signed to a major label, Virgin Records. However, there was a problem. Elliot was feeling stifled by the punk rock, alternative rock aesthetics that Pete Meiser had adhered to. As he says in this quote, he felt his true spirit was disguised in a loud rock band. After leaving Pete Meiser, over the course of several albums, Elliot Smith arrived at a sound that was simultaneously brash, sensitive, melodically gripping, and with lyrics that braided hope and pain, longing and jadedness, innocence and weariness. He wielded his considerable instrumental chops when called upon to express complex emotions, but never unnecessarily or in a show-offy way. According to Slim Moon, the owner of the Kill Rock Stars label that Elliot Smith ultimately signed to, Elliot's music started making more sense. I'd never heard music like that before. He was like, I'm just going to sit with a guitar and sing about how I feel. In Independence Day, from Smith's album XO, evocations of positivity, idealism, and unity are juxtaposed with evocations of negation, brokenness, and waiting. Not in a way that the two poles cancel each other out, nor in a way that one prevails over the other, but rather in a metamodern oscillation that presences both modernist certainty and postmodern doubt. Now let's look at the lyrics with their wonderful oscillations between modernist and postmodern sentiments. You've got a butterfly, which represents ideal beauty and grace, but it's not coming until the future. Confusion, a kind of postmodern inability to actually know anything, but it's idealized as beautiful. You only live a day, a kind of postmodern sense of limitation, but it's brilliant anyway, a kind of metamodern romanticization of that limitation. And then idealized perfect place, but it's not going to happen now, it's happening later. A modernistic bright ideal tomorrow, postmodern retreat from that ideal, and then a metamodern resolution of the juxtaposition of those two, stay who you are, in the sense that the kind of interior authenticity of the person is being promoted. I'm going to go on to the Ben Folds Five. Ben Folds Five were a three-member rock band led by piano player and singer Ben Folds. His own description of his band, Punk Rock for Sissies, provides the title of this talk. What this moniker implies to me is something that is simultaneously disruptive and sensitive, a defiant vulnerability. I think it is an apt characterization of the music of the Ben Folds Five and also one angle on metamodernism. The Ben Folds Five came out of the punk rock scene of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. They were American Southern, but suburban, not country. The music was brash, loud, and exuberant, but musically sophisticated and poignantly emotional as often as it was clever or goofy. Many of the songs are about the community and personalities found in the punk rock scene. One song in particular that I'd like to look at is called Philosophy, in which a narrator contemplates his role as an individual within a youthful group of outsiders as they hang out at night observing an urban landscape. Now let's take a look at the lyrics here. Won't you look up at the skyline, at the mortar block and glass, and check out the reflections in my eyes? The singer takes these icons of modernism, mortar block and glass, that might usually come across as alienating and makes them intimate and personal as reflections in his eyes. I see that there is evil and I know that there is good and the in-betweens I never understood. Acknowledging the entire moral spectrum, including the gray area between the poles, which, being harder to understand, may be the most intriguing to the singer. Would you look at me? I'm crazy, but I get the job done. I'm crazy, but I get the job done. Acknowledging postmodern chaos, but not being stuck in it, he gets the job done. When I heard Robin, in his talk, there was the quote from somebody, I'm a hypocrite, but I keep trying. And that reminds me of this line, I'm crazy, but I get the job done. Then go ahead and laugh all you want. I've got my philosophy and I trust it like the ground. That's why my philosophy keeps me walking when I'm falling down. Accepting, go ahead, the postmodern tendency to scoff, laugh all you want, at any attempt at a philosophy or notion of solid ground, and yet ultimately defying that cynicism. If he were expressing merely a modernist perspective, he might insist that the philosophy was true for all people, but metamodernly instead, he only justifies it as being useful for himself. I pushed you because I loved you guys. I didn't realize that you weren't having fun. And I dragged you up the stairs and I told you to fly. You were flapping your arms and you started to cry. You were too high. He recognizes a mistake he'd made in attempting to universalize his philosophy. It's true, but not necessarily true for everybody. And it doesn't have to be true for everybody to be important. This may be the emotional heart of the song because it's where the singer reveals why all of this is important to him. Then we've got Rilo Kiley. Rilo Kiley was a band formed in Los Angeles in 1998 by two former child actors, Jenny Lewis and Blake Sennett. Lewis has also gone on to a very successful solo career. And I'm just gonna jump into the song Better Son Daughter. Released in 2002, is a song of triumph over self-doubt, anxiety, and depression. It begins with Lewis singing in a little girl voice about her inability to get out of bed and the weight of all the concerns keeping her there. On a musical level, I think you can feel how the song embraces the tiny and the epic, vulnerability moving to despair, to anger, and finally achieving an inner strength, even if it is a performed strength. Lyrically, it oscillates between a backward look towards innocence, a cynical realism, and a fight for hope, ultimately evoking a metamodern sensibility. My last clip is from Sufjan Stevens, a Christian singer-songwriter and band leader who combines epic whimsy with profound seriousness in a way that appeals equally to both spiritual and secular audiences. For this song, a live version of his Kazimir Pulaski Day, I'm not going to focus on particular lyrics. Instead, I'll say the song tells the story of a teenage boy dating a girl who has bone cancer, coming to grips with the ways in which reality does not conform to the expectations his church has instilled in him about prayer, sex, and community. In the clip, please notice the juxtaposition of the serious storytelling, delicate singing, musical arrangement growing from tiny to epic, and the whimsical costuming with the butterfly wings attached to quasi-military uniforms. So that's Sufjan Stevens, Rilo Kiley, the Ben Folds Five, and Elliott Smith, just a few examples that I argue represent a modern shift in indie rock music occurring around the turn of the millennium. I think that all four exhibit a sensibility that expresses a modernist yearning for truth and goodness, coupled with a concession towards postmodern uncertainty, irony, and self-deprecation. You can hear this braiding in the sound of the music itself, understand it in the themes of the lyrics, see it in their visual presentation, and gather it in some cases from the things they've said about themselves. To hear the full versions of the songs I've highlighted, plus more by these and other metamodern artists, you can check out my Spotify playlist with the URL on the screen, and it's on your handout. For a more in-depth theoretical discussion of my 11 metamodern methods, please see the second article on there. And for a catalog of metamodern cultural artifacts authored by myself and Linda Cirriello, visit whatismetamodern.com. Thank you.